Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and I am delighted after 18 months roughly of work, I can announce that my debut book is being released this September. It's titled Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects and Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, and it's part of the Unexpected Atlas series. Now, what I'd like to do, just for a few minutes of your time, folks, is let you know how you can get a copy of the book, a little bit about the book, and then for those who want to hang on for the story, I'm going to share the story of how this came about. Because it wasn't just a case of I wanted to write a book, because I certainly didn't. And it's been a lot of hard work along the way. So, yeah, first off, the book, like I say, titled Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, it's due for release around mid-September, depending where you are in the world. So around the 14th to the 18th of September, depending on your location. It is available now for pre-order. If you're going to think, I don't want to listen to the rest of this podcast, I'm happy to not order the book, or I'll order it anyway, you can check the description for the link. It's got a Genius link, and that takes you to your region's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and it's got some other retailers on there as well. But if you just search my name and Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects or Atlas of UFOs, it should come up. But the best way to pre-order is use that link. Good news, if you pre-order on Amazon, it won't take the money until the book gets dispatched around mid-September. So yeah, it would really help me out. If you are going to do it and plan on doing it, jump on Amazon, click pre-order. It gets the book up the kind of book charts and the algorithms and whatnot, and gets the book more advertised as well to the general public. What the book covers, folks, what you'll get in a beautiful hardback edition is a global guide to UFOs and UAP, 34 historical cases, historical and modern, like I say, in a beautiful presentation, which I really would encourage you to go on and look at the previews on Amazon or the other sites. It's not just a book full of words, because that probably wouldn't have lasted too long if I'd done that myself. I had a team of people from a publisher's working on this with me. I put the words down on paper. They cleaned it up. They had a cartographer designing maps, which are all illustrated incredibly well. There are blurbs underneath a whole host of researched photographs from a team who done that as part of it. And it's a really well put together book. It's part of a series called Unexpected Atlases. They had Atlas of Vanishing Places and others like it as well. So yeah, it's a really lovely presented book. It includes maps, witness accounts, archival material, expert input. There's quotes there from guests I've had and generally researched research quotes I've looked for through documentaries, articles, magazines, clippings, podcasts, and all that kind of stuff as it goes. It covers famous and lesser known incidents from across the world, and I'll get into the remit around when I was asked to do the book as to why that is, but it was really, I didn't want to write a book and they didn't want me to write a book that was just the US, the US, the US. So it's probably half United States cases and the other half truly are international. The foreword is from Diana Pasulka. I'm very grateful to Diana writing that for me. And I've also got a lovely review of the book who Richard Dolan read a very early draft and looked through that for me. And he said, Andy McGrillin has created something special on the fascinating subject of UFOs. The illustrations and photos are superb. Most importantly, McGrillin is a compelling and engaging storyteller. You won't want to put this book down. And that was, like I say, from Richard Dolan. And I greatly appreciate that. I didn't ask him to write that. So very much thank him for that. And you can see that on the back cover of the book as well. So if you're leaving me there, folks, I'm going to tell the story now over just a couple of minutes of how the book came about, if you want to hang on to hear that. Otherwise, please click on the link in the description and you can pre-order the book anytime up to release and after release and all that kind of stuff. But it really does help out if you can pre-order in advance just to help it with the algorithms and get it noticed as well. But yeah, the link's in the description. Go check it out. If you see it online, share it. It'll be out in September. It's a great gift for yourself. It's a great coffee table book. And I think it's really good for Secret Santa gifts and stuff like that too. So yeah, thank you to everyone who maybe spotted it early. It's had a bit of a soft launch in the last week and has already pre-ordered. It means a great deal. And please, if you pre-order it, drop me an email. Use the thatufopodcast.com contact form. Let me know you've pre-ordered. I would love to say thank you as well. And if you have any questions at all, please, please, please don't hesitate to get in touch about the book. So yeah, thank you. And here's the story of how it came about. So you may remember back in July, roughly 2023, we had the whole David Grush coming forward. And the day after he had the hearing with Commander Graves, then Ryan Graves, I was asked to do a spot on radio here in the UK on BBC Radio 2. Quite a big radio station nationally for us, and it was a couple of minutes, and as my radio appearances tend to go, folks, I was in the car. It was first thing in the morning, about 10 to 8, quarter to 8 in the morning, and my wife was getting the kids ready for the school run. So that day I was in the office that day for my day job, and which I still have, by the way, so you know, support me with the book. And I was sitting in the car and I'd done a couple of minutes on the radio talking about David Grush, and they wanted to know, this guy in the United States has come forward and made these incredible claims. What's it all about, Andy? You've got a podcast, you're into UFOs and aliens. After a few minutes of coming off air, I got a text message from someone else at the BBC asking if I would do a longer form show later that day. I said to them I could do that on my lunch and work, that was fine. And they mentioned it would be a call-in show. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally cool with me. I was going to be on with a couple of other podcast hosts. One was like an astrophysicist, and I never recall the third person. And it's with a host called Nicky Campbell here in the UK. Back in the day when I was a kid, he hosted Wheel of Fortune in the UK. So that's how I kind of knew him. But he does more kind of... not higher brow, but more serious political type talks and shows now, news roundups in the UK, kind of moving on in his career. And they sent me a link through, and the link said Telesoft. And I thought, Telesoft? I thought it was radio. So I text them back, and by this time I was in my office where I work. And it's a big call centre, so I don't have like my own room or anything like that by any means. And they said, oh no, it's also simulcast on BBC Two on TV. Is that okay for you? And I was like, yeah. So I literally scrambled together, and this is all relevant, folks. This is how the book came about. I scrambled together a load of boxes, put my iPhone on top of the boxes, leaning against another box, and was on camera for an hour and done this BBC Two appearance. It went really well. And it was loads of callers calling in about UFO sightings, experiences. I remember the astrophysicist was quite sceptical, a little bit Mick Westish, you know, and I don't mean that disparagingly, but not really into the topic. It's all nonsense. People who see these things, I think they mentioned, were always in, you know, Bible Belt United States, and, you know, it's always the same types of folks in the same places who see them. But to completely destroy their own argument, the five callers who called up were all from the UK, and their sightings had been around the world. One was in Alaska, I'm sure. One was in Africa. Another one was in like Denmark, and the other two were in the UK. And they'd happened in years gone by. Not one of them had ever reported their sighting. So it was wonderful to hear that and be able to kind of throw that back in the kind of skeptic's face. It went really well. I was quite happy with how I came across, and I always hope to represent the subject in a good way. Moving on from that, around a week later, I received a message online from a publisher just asking if I'd like to have a chat about a potential opportunity. I always like to say yes to chat about opportunities. I'm not saying that I get offered multi-million pound contracts, because if I did, I would not be in the job I'm still in with the house I still have, I can assure you, and my wife would assure you. But I get offered small opportunities to do various different things, and I tend to say no, just from a time perspective, but also, is it right for me? Is it something I would be comfortable with? And am I just saying yes for the sake of it, when other people might be better placed to do what I've been asked to do? But I always like to have the initial conversation. And basically, the publisher pitched to me, they have this series of books that are atlases, but that are beautifully illustrated. They have a whole team work on that, but they wanted me to do the UFO version of the series. I mentioned I wasn't an author, I wasn't a particularly wonderful writer. I can write stuff down, I don't mind that. I was good at it when I was a kid. It was something I really enjoyed to do in my spare time, like an absolute geek. And they assured me they had people who could make it look nice and presentable, and they would correct grammar issues, all that kind of stuff. So I agreed to do it, and that was around August 2023. I started writing it really in the October of 2023, to be honest, and finished it in February of this year. I wrote so much of it late nights, early mornings, and Starbuckses across the northeast of England, where locally I would spend some time at home, but I struggle to write it at home. I've got a busy house. I still work my 9-to-5. Obviously, I've got the podcast and I've got life. So amongst all of that, I was chipping away at the book. I then spent a lot of time after work during the Euros. If anyone follows soccer or football, the European Championships were on last summer. I would stay in work late and put football on in the background on one TV in the office, and I would chip away watching documentaries or checking out articles or whatnot on my laptop, on my MacBook, on another TV in the office as well. And just chipped away at it, folks. And it came to that. Honestly, I'm not going to do the whole woe is me, because it's a real pleasure that I get to do this. And these opportunities come about because folks like you listening to this right now have supported me and listened to the podcast and grown it into what it is. There was the odd time where I really wanted to stop, because I felt it was almost a bit much. But I think when you're just in the thick of it and you get a little bit of, you're having a rough week and you're tired and all that kind of stuff. But I got out of the slump, and I'm sure like any real writer would do, not like myself, plenty of established, esteemed authors in the world who have these moments. And I cracked on and I got it finished around February of this year. I'd like to thank Graham Rendell, author and historian and friend of mine, for going through a lot of early drafts of the work, just to help me fact check things, because you'll appreciate, folks, in the UFO world, I would tend to watch very basically a couple of documentaries around a particular case, check out some articles, any existing source material, and then I would put my work, the case together from that. Those could stretch from an afternoon's work to days and days and days, depending on how big the case was, how much there was to go on. But sometimes you would come across, three documentaries of which they said the same case, but would give three different details in different ways. I'll give you one example. There's a case, I won't go into too much detail on the case, which is from Japan. And a couple of school children see an object, but in the description, in two different reportings of the case, one they hide in a vineyard and one they hide in a graveyard. But it turns out the translation in Japanese for vineyard and graveyard can be quite similar, so it's hard to disseminate where they actually ran to. So I've tried to clear things like that up. And what I hope the book does is it gives people a snapshot of these cases to go and read. You know, I've got, for example, Roswell is in there. Now, there are books of 400 and 500 pages written on just Roswell, but I'm probably covering Roswell, including the pictures and whatnot, in 5 to 10 pages. So it's not too deep and it's not too rich. I'm not that type of writer, but I hope it gives people an up-to-date view, and from my point of view, of what was important in these cases and why there was something to them. And that goes from, it's split up into crash retrievals, abductions, military cases, civilian and close encounters as well. And it goes from around the world, the USA, Australia, Japan, Zimbabwe, Russia, Scotland, France, China, Iran. There are cases covering the whole globe. And I really hope folks appreciate that I did put a lot of work into it, but I hope it's something that at the end of the day you get something from and you can recommend to family and friends or even pick up a copy for yourself as well. So that's pretty much all for me, folks. If you want to pick up a copy of Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, search for it online. The easiest way to do that, though, is use the link in the podcast. It'll take you to your own regional variation of Amazon or other websites. And like I say, if you're thinking, I am going to pick up this book, go and pre-order now on Amazon. It won't take the money until the time. I would really appreciate it. And if you don't want to pick it up, if you can't pick it up, if you're thinking later down the line, any sharing or recommending it online to people would be hugely and greatly appreciated. And all I would ask is, over the next couple of months, at the beginning of the podcast, you may hear a small advert from me just mentioning that the book is available to pre-order for folks to get out of there. It won't take too long, literally a few seconds. And yeah, that's it. So I've been working on that for 18 months in the background. Plenty of work's gone into it. I hope you like it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it represents the UFO subject in a good light to people who are new to it, but also have been around the subject a lot longer than I have as well. And once again, thank you for your support in growing the podcast to a point I was offered this opportunity. Lots of great content, as always, to come in the coming weeks, folks, but I will leave you with that one there. Go click on the link, pre-order the book, which comes out this September, Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects and Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. Thank you.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save